The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm excited. Things are going well. Victories are being churned in. Victory after victory. The speech of Nick Fuentes yesterday was quite strong against Josh Hammer, and they are so nervous. They are so nervous that their plan to take over the Republican Party has been exposed and outbeaten. It's been beaten by Nick Fuentes, and now we have a whole wing of the Republican Party with Tucker Carlson showing sympathy to Nick Fuentes. This has triggered so many people, and they can't help but show it. They can't help but overreact, because I didn't know they would react that way. Normally, the policy of the establishment conservative is ignore Nick Fuentes, ignore Tucker Carlson if he starts saying stuff against Israel, but they can't help it. They are seething. And so we are in a seething. Heritage Foundation just came out supporting Tucker Carlson for platforming Nick Fuentes, and establishment conservatives have unilaterally condemned the Heritage Foundation. Very impressive what's happening. Very impressive what Nick was able to pull. As you can see, I have started establishing the Minecraft background, so you can now have an idea of how it's going to look. It's going to be like these squares all over the place. For now, I've put some glue to make my main line that will guide the rest of the build. But because the glue was not instant, I had to use duct tape to hold them in place. Once I have a straight line and a straight line at the bottom, I'll be able to build them like bricks, one square over the other. I'm so excited about the stuff I've received. I have, as I've shown before, this genuine Minecraft torch. I mean, look at this. It's going to be beautiful here. I'm very impressed by the pixelated effect they got on the torch. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. I mean, look at the surrounding of the four squares. There's like 8 squares total. There's kind of a texture surrounding around it. It's a perfect visual effect for a cheap toy. And look at what I just got. This is going to be... Isn't this freaking awesome? A genuine Minecraft reproduction. I actually have a remote control. I can control the color. Now it's lighting in white. Now it's in red. I can have it in orange, purple. Absolutely fantastic. And look at the chain. That's genuine Minecraft texture. So happy with these products. I can't wait to integrate them to my finalized background. John Drake says, I'm just happy you're not going with a green screen. Oh, yeah. I mean, I am totally against green screens. They create such a cheap effect. It really harms the eye. So I'm sorry that I didn't have a high quality background now for more than a year, for almost a year. And I'm sorry about this. My policy is always to have good background. But the events of my life where there was too much uncertainty in my life. And I was like, I don't want to build a background if I have to move from here. But as it turned out, given the betrayal of my ex, it seems that I will be living here forever. It seems that I'll raise my children here in Alberta. So not a bad news, not a bad thing in and of itself. I'm very happy here in Alberta. Coronal Mass Ejection says, yesterday they cut the end of the show off. Yeah, there was massive internet outages across the internet. So that's why my streaming was buggy. And I had a good connection to YouTube, but somehow it had a bad connection to send it to you guys. And the show cut off at the end. But if you want to see the full show, go either on Rumble or on my Twitter account. You'll see the full video up to the end. It's just a matter of the way I clicked end live stream at the end, and there was massive internet delays, so they cut earlier rather than when I clicked. So that is why yesterday's show was bugged. Josh Hammer says, on Monday, Tucker Carlson told a neo-Nazi that he detests Christian Zionists more than anyone. It's an odd way of saying that Carlson hated Charlie Kirk, who also despised that same neo-Nazi, but Carlson's reel up, destroy MAGA. It's fantastic what's happening. Absolutely beautiful. Because the Jews have decided that they were going at war with this branch of MAGA, but which is so much bigger than the Jews. I mean, in terms of mass of demographic support, if you lose the entire new generation, the type of people who end up conservative-minded, fans of Nick Fuentes, religious, the Republican Party has no future. And yet the Jews are so greedy right now that they can't let Nick Fuentes in. They can't find a compromise. And that is beautiful to see because they're about to... Well, first, they expose themselves right now. Josh Hammer, Mark Levin. Like, what the fuck is Mark Levin doing on Fox News and claiming to be a conservative if he's going to react to Nick Fuentes just like an SJW? Because that's what we're seeing right now. The Jews are reacting. They are showing that their whole free market of ideas is bullshit. They don't believe in free engagement, and it always took Christians in the conservative movement, like Charlie Kirk, like Tucker Carlson, like Candace Owens, to be able to open the discussion on the problems that are faced by the centrist Jew / center-right alliance that exists and that defines the current Republican Party. What's the difference between Mark Levin yelling at Nick Fuentes, calling him a punk, saying he's unimportant, he's a neo-Nazi, he's a little Hitler? I mean, it's sweet. It's kino, absolute kino, to be listening to Mark Levin frustrated like this. We've been working for a long time to get this. John Drake says, Mark Levin blowing his top is always good. Yes, so we'll look at the overreaction here. And it's like, keep in mind, these centrist Jews that have infiltrated the Republican Party, they are doing so not because they are ideologically right-wing in any way, not because they are sympathetic to the cause of white people and white conservatives and Christianity in the U.S., but they are truly... far-left individuals who are just for the purpose of manipulating America, for the purpose of recruiting an endless wave of soldiers for the wars of Israel, of technological support for the wars of Israel, of diplomatic support for the extension of Israeli control over the Middle East. And there's a whole generation of young people rising, young males mostly, that is calling this out. And it creates a friction that I've never seen before, where the Jews have decided to drop the mask off and basically, we are in a situation of extortion. The Jews are saying to America right now, with Josh Hammer and Mark Levin, they're saying, we won't let you even compete against the LGBT far left if you don't give us what we want. If you want conservatism, you better shut up and kiss the wall. If you want destroying wokeness, and if you want continued application of immigration law, and if you don't want us to crush America, you better side with us. That's what the Jews are saying in the undertext. It's very important to understand what's going on. They are saying, we won't let you win with the Republican Party if we can't have our way with the Republican Party. And as such, they are truly launching a last ultimatum to the American people. What I predict will happen in the next 20 years, inevitably, is that the Jews will fail. They will fail at this tactic of manipulation. They might still control the elite of the Republican Party through money injection. They might be able to maintain this space at the elite control level, maybe for 4, 8, 12 years. But eventually there will be a breaking point where the Republican Party will be faced with, do we side with Nick Fuentes and his base, or do we continue being fed by the Jews but to lose? It's going to be the choice. And I believe that at some point, the Republican Party will have to walk back on the absolute Israeli kneeling that they are currently in. Schweed says, Tucker is damage control, unfortunately. He's clearly CIA and is attempting to gain trust by being friendly-ish to the far right. I think the conversation was important, but I don't trust him. You're right. I'm not claiming that the entente is final yet. But just the fact that they had to succumb to the temptation, just the fact that Tucker had to do this interview, that's already a massive win. Because let's not forget, Tucker was sitting beside J.D. Vance at the moment he got nominated vice president. Remember? So Tucker... Tucker is... Sorry, I've been working. I've been working on the background with glue, and there's vapors of glue that I'm smelling. Let's not forget that Tucker Carlson is a representative of the elite, and he is definitely in. He is at the center and the cornerstone of all forms of possible takeovers of the Republican Party. And he's right there at the middle. And yes, he's playing a game of gatekeeping, not gatekeeping too much. Kind of, he's flirting with all the directions possible. But just the fact that he had to flirt in that direction of inviting Nick Fuentes and creating all of this pushback that we're seeing, that is a victory in and of itself. Corpus Christ says, when I was a kid, I would sniff glue. Don't do this. Not a good idea. Personally, I'm not currently exposed to massive amounts of glue vapor because the place is aerated correctly. But just the little bit that is left has made my throat react. Tucker Carlson just hit a new low with this heinous betrayal of my friend Charlie Kirk, who is surely now rolling in his grave. Josh Hammer. No shame. No fucking shame. How dare you? How dare you use a dead man? And I don't even care if, you know, there is a case to be made that Charlie Kirk hated Nick Fuentes, and there's evidence for it. But how dare you use a dead man's hypothetical position in a title? That is absolute chutzpah. On Monday evening, the most dangerous man in America sat to interview a confused millennial. How many things can you get wrong within a single sentence? Tucker Carlson, the most dangerous man in America? Nick Fuentes, a millennial? Nick Fuentes is a Zoomer. I'm a millennial. When Tucker Carlson interviews me, that will be a millennial. No, but Tucker Carlson, dangerous. Why? It's because he's dangerous only to one group. The group that is interested in recruitment of the Republican Party for centrist Jewish interest and neocon interventionism. That is the danger that Tucker Carlson is. That's no danger, actually. Like, in terms of human suffering, human death, Tucker Carlson, if anything, is a force that has the chance to reduce human death, genocides, wars of control by Israel for the next 20 years. So dangerous only because you have this position. The pair who for months had been regaling the masses with a bit of low-rent turf war kayfabe, implying the other was an undercover fed, decided to drop the faux hatchet once and for all. I don't think there was no genuineness. I don't think it was kayfabe. And I think that Nick Fuentes was probably very surprised when it came that Tucker Carlson was actually willing to invite him. Now I'm trying to see the rest of the article. Is that it? That's it. So okay, so there's I thought there would be a long article to read, but that's it. That's what Josh Hammer has. Unless I don't know, you know, Daily Mail has so many publicities. It's actually hard to know when you're at the end of the article. But it seems that it's the article. The pair who for months had been regarding the masses with a bit of, well, no, didn't feel like kayfabe to me. Now let's listen to Mark Levin. Mark Levin is going on absolute fire. He doesn't like it at all. And it's like, you can't be working so hard to soil the reputation of a guy. You can't be talking about a guy for 20 minutes on your radio show and then say he's unimportant. No, the fact that you have to talk about him is a demonstration that he is important. If he was unimportant, you would have no issue not talking about him today. You have to talk about him because he's put his finger on something that you failed at seeing coming.
Nick Fuentes, 27-20-year-old punk.
It starts just like this. Within 5 seconds, you can feel the absolute seething. 27, 20, whatever, punk. Sweet says, I believe the state of Israel knows they are losing the plot. Obviously, they are also fully aware as the boomers die off, so does support for Israel. Carlson is just an attempt to calm the noticing. Yes, in a way, yes. But Carlson has to... he has to take positions that are reconciliatory with Nick Fuentes, that are advances for us. You know, the idea, if you had told me 1 year or 2 years ago that Tucker Carlson would be saying to Nick Fuentes, oh yeah, I hate the Christian Zionists. They're the worst. They're worse than the Jews. That is basically what's implied. Now, that is, to me, a victory. Someone is telling me that Tucker Carlson... Well, your link, AquacNut, has been cut. So when I click on it, it doesn't find it. Can you Can you try to retype the link in full? Because, yeah, well, please send me the link again. He says that the article was not complete on Daily Mail. But you have to send me a working link, and it's been cut off because probably of the max characters in a chat. I will be happy to read, but let's continue with Mark Levin.
A racist. A neo-Nazi.
Absolutely no difference than what you would hear from Antifa far-left people.
What has he done for the country?
Well, he has awakened a movement that has highlighted the fact that your ethnic has taken over American politics. And he is demanding that this be resolved so that people can again trust the American political system to be serving their interest. That is a pretty big thing that has been accomplished by Nick Fuentes.
Absolutely nothing. Zero. But I want you to listen very carefully to this, particularly if you're a Christian. This is Tucker Carlson, who finally...
Oh, Mark Levin, the Jew, will tell us how to be a good Christian.
He showed some ankle. Finally showed some ankle, but I knew it was there the whole time. And it's not very pretty. Cut 19, go.
How do you explain Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz... And there are a lot like that, John Bolton. I mean, I've known them all. George W. Bush, like Karl Rove. I mean, all people I know personally who I've seen like be seized by this brain virus. Mm-hmm. And they're not Jewish. They're, most of them are self-described Christians. And then the Christian Zionists who are, well, Christian Zionists. Like, what is that? Right. And I can just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody. You know, because like what? Because it's Christian heresy and I'm offended by that as a Christian. That's why. So I don't like, why not? Like, I'm pissed at the neocons. Very pissed. I've said that a million times. I've been mad since
your father was a neocon.
December of 2003.
Consider this. Mark Levin, pissed off, is whispering to Tucker Carlson, your father was a neocon. While 3 months ago, it was Nick Fuentes saying to Tucker Carlson, your dad was CIA. Now it's Mark Levin saying, hey, let me remind you, Tucker, your dad wouldn't like this at all. Your dad wouldn't like your current position. Your dad would be siding with Mark Levin. Are you sure you want to violate your engagements towards your dad? I mean, this is absolute beauty. Let's continue.
When I went to Iraq. And so, like, I went and asked straightforward questions to Ted Cruz, because that seemed like he was a sitting senator who's, like, serving for Israel by his own description. He seemed like a worthy target.
Serving Israel. This is how they dismiss people who they disagree with, but that's not the point. Israel's not the point. Ted Cruz is...
Israel is pretty much the point of every single American policy of the last 40 years in the geopolitical domain and even in the interior domain under Trump.
The point. Mike Huckabee posted. He said, I didn't know I was suffering from a vain virus by embracing the Bible. What's a Christian Zionist? It's a Christian who embraces the Bible. Why?
The Bible. Because the Bible wants us to protect Israel for the Jews. The Bible wants us to infinitely fund all of the wars of the Jews in the Middle East so that we can accomplish what the Bible demands. Protect the land of Israel for the Jews.
Because it's a recognition that God, the chosen people, the Jews, are in the Holy Land, again, according to the Bible, because that's where God wanted them. And for Christians, the Messiah, Jesus, if he's to come back.
So he's mostly here calling for an agreement onto the ancient testament.
The Jews and the Christians need.
And now he's conditionally exploring, if you are a Christian, if you happen to believe this crazy idea that Jesus was a messiah and not a criminal, here's how you should think.
You to embrace the Holy Land and populate it. This is the Bible. This is Christian teaching. And he's offended by these Christian Zionists more than anybody else. More than the Jews, even. More than the Islamists. More than the Marxists. More than the terrorists. More than Hamas. It's these Christian Zionists, you see. It's a brain virus. That Christians believe that the state of Israel is to exist, must exist, because of God's word. It's Tucker Carlson and his little buddy, little Adolf, Nikki Fuentes, by the way.
Little Adolf, the C thing, bro.
This guy's a white supremacist and he's part Mexican. What is that all about, Mr. Producer? Do you even understand?
Oh, this is so classical. Again, a leftist trope. The leftists call you white supremacist because they decide you are one. And then they're like, oh, well, I've detected some inconsistency. Oh, Jeff, you had a 25% Mexican girlfriend. Oh, isn't that a contradiction? It's like, no, you are creating contradictions in your own brain because you are working from terms that I don't use. You are creating your own strawman of me. And then you're detecting contradictions within your own worldview of me. And maybe this should encourage you to start revising your worldview. And perhaps it's not all black and white. And perhaps it's not, there's such a thing as a white supremacist. And once you fall in that category, you can't be Mexican. This is all internal frustration of you, Mark Levin. It's not a contradiction in the life of Nick Fuentes.
That? What a crackpot. But anyway, that aside. The one who's blasphemous here is Tucker Carlson, who's an ignoramus. Those holy sites are holy sites for Christians too. You got the big blubbering ignoramus, the confessed felon, Bannon, who says, hey, I have an idea.
On that, I have the impression that it's part actually of the Jewish plan to have renamed all of the, to have pushed so much propaganda around the idea that the land of Israel as it stands today is the historical, is related to the historical Israel of the Bible. I believe that there is a lot of buttering has been made there. Buttering of the evidence, reaching the conclusions without actual proof, only for the purpose of precisely appealing to Christian interest in protecting this land. Aquaknot says, does Levin genuinely believe to win over any Christians, though condescending lecturing like this? Through condescending lecturing like this, yeah, I mean, it's not going to work. It's going to rile up the boomer base at 75, 80 year old, but it's not going to rile up the new generation. Wahed says, yeah, most of us read Dune. It's all been covered. Dune?
Everybody, what is it? What's your idea, Stevie? I think the Middle East should have three countries or three divisions, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. Another guy who doesn't know the Bible. It's a slob. Guy comes out of Hollywood. He's fooled people left and right. He's ripped them off to enrich himself. And he's quoted all the time. Like Carlson, why? Because the Mediaites, the Drudge Reports, the Daily Bestialities, the Huffington Compost, the others, they want them to be our voice and our face. To undermine us, to undermine the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, to undermine.
Whoa. Us Christians in the same sentence. And then he says, the Christian faith, the Jewish faith. Wait a minute here. There's two two prongs here. You are not a bearer of what Christianity is.
Our country, our constitution. Because these guys are frauds. They're freaks. But they can make a few bucks, more than a few bucks.
You're just a freak like me. See, these people, eventually they'll just, if things go wrong, they'll just be ready to eat you.
A lot of bucks. Where else would they go? What else could they do? So Katarlson is now attacking.
Is there really demand for this stupid, low-level propaganda? Katarlson? Are you fucking kidding me? Katarlson? So now Tucker Carlson, we are brought to consider that he is an agent of Qatar in the U.S. How does that work? What's the money flow here, Mark Levin?
Evangelical Christians and Christians across the board. Christian Zionists. Let's play that again just so you can hear it really well. Because I've told you before, you think he's just a Jew hater? He's a Christian hater, this guy. And for when...
Christians and Jews, one fight, hand in hand together. Let's fight the hatred of neo-Nazis. They hate us both. They hate us both. They hate the Christians just like the Jews.
This is too. Because their belief systems, the things they say, they're not Jewish, they're not Christian. They're hideous. Go ahead.
How do you explain Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and there are a lot like that, John Bolton. I mean, I've known them all. George W. Bush, like
Pastor Hagee, virtually every pastor in the United States of America. How do you explain all these pastors? How do you explain the tens of millions of Christians who go to church every Sunday, who live this belief, who actually read the Bible and believe the Bible? He finds you all hideous. He finds you all worse. Worse than Jews. Worse than anybody else. Go ahead.
All people I know personally who I've seen like be seized by this brain virus, mm-hmm. and they're not Jewish. They're, most of them are self-described Christians. And then the Christian Zionists who are, well, Christian Zionists. Like, what is that?
Right.
And I could just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody. You know, because like, what? Because it's Christian heresy and I'm a fan.
All right, that's enough. You've heard it once. You've heard that part twice now. So it's Christian heresy to be a Christian. I hope the pastors of this country are going to speak out now, too.
Bro, the Jews are pissed. When they start trying to gather the support of the pastors of the U.S., bro, there's going to be an all-out offensive against the far right. They're going to try to get all these evangelical, Republican-ish pastors to side with an interpretation of the Bible that is pro-Jewish. And the problem is, you know, yes, there are passages of the Bible, especially the Ancient Testament, of course, given that it's the book of the Jews, that could be interpreted as calling for support, of calling for the legitimacy of the Jewish presence on some land that has been translated as Israel in the Bible. But there is nothing in the Bible, and especially not in the New Testament, that binds us to side with war crimes and genocides if they are accomplished by the Jews. This is the problem that is not faced by Mark Levin here. He assumes, oh, the Bible has locked you in. 2,000 years ago, a text was written that binds you today to support whatever the Jews do. It's not really like this. Even if I'm not a Christian, but even if I was a Christian, it's not exactly this. There is a general feeling from the Old Testament that the Jews have some legitimate presence in a land called Israel then. which is probably not exactly the land of Israel today, and does it matter anyway? But the New Testament certainly is a basis to condemn the current behavior of the Jews on the land of Israel. The New Testament certainly is appealing to a form of pacifism, of community of people, of love of the other, of love of the enemy, that is absolutely contradictory to the barbarism that we see right now in Israel. Shamrock Shake says the Bible was written by Jewish people. Sean Mester says, I mostly agree with the born-again type of Christian, but the major problem is how they cuck to Jews really hard.
You see, Christianity hasn't changed. Judaism hasn't changed. Our support for Israel is changing because of people like this. If he says he's a Christian...
Mark Levin here misunderstands. It's not so much Nick Fuentes that is causing the diminishing support for Israel. It was a fact of the rising generation, and there was basically not much he could do about it. It's inevitable. It's a slippery slope, and we're on it, and we're snowballing into it. Nick Fuentes is surfing and representing those people, giving them a voice. That is why he's popular. So you have to understand what art and public commentary is. It's someone who chooses to be the representant of a bunch of people. And the bunch of people are so grateful they send him money. That is what it is. In a way, the anti-Israel position was locked in, given just how aggressive Israel has to be to just expand the way they want in the Middle East.
And he speaks like this about Christians. Is it any wonder how he hates Jews and he speaks the way he does about Jews? Have you ever heard him talk about Qatar this way, Mr. Producer?
Oh, the absence of Qatar critique should alarm us. The absence of Qatar critique in the work of Tucker Carlson is absolutely suspicious. That's because there's nothing to be said about Qatar. Because the only people who ever use the word Qatar in American public commentary are Jews funded to do it. Literally. I mean, we can see what you've been doing, Mark Levin, Barry Weiss. At some point, someone sent a DM to Jews and said, we have to push hard against Qatar this week. Because you guys all activated at the same time. You all activated, and there was nothing new, there was nothing coming out in the news that would justify this activation. You guys are part of a conspiracy. You're Jews hanging out in some secret forums, and you're being ordered to talk about Qatar. This happened like 3 months ago, and it was insane. Yeah, the bad signal. You can see you guys are operating on a fucking bad signal. Like, the bad signal in the sky showed up, and it was written Qatar on the bat. And all of a sudden, Barry Weiss, Douglas Murray, Mark Levin, they all were extremely worried about Qatar that week. We can detect what you're doing, and it's disgusting to us. This is what we have to explain to Jews. It's disgusting to us. We believe that independence of thought and creation is a very important tool to save civilization. And the little games you've been playing are disgusting morally to us. We are turned off by it. We find it weird. It's fucking weird. Like, you guys are standing publicly like this and not talking from the bottom of your heart. You guys are following orders. Who the fuck is giving you guys orders? Who the fuck decided that Qatar had to be a focus of the mainstream media news of American politics 3 months ago? Just the week, by the way, where, oh, also Israel decided to airstrike Qatar against the demands and orders of the president of the U.S. not to. Why? Why are there these correlations? I'm an AI here. I'm just Grok. I'm just trying to figure it out. Just trying to understand what kind of dirty games is happening under the behind the veil.
I haven't either. They talk so little about the Islamists, don't they? Why is that? Why is that?
It's because we know anti-Islamic hate is your favorite psyop. It's not that I like the Islamists. It's not that I like the Muslims. But you guys trying to stir hatred against the Muslims, that is graver to me than even the Muslims themselves. Because to know that not only there's this hostile force in the world, Islamism, that I have to take account of, I have to keep away from myself, and I have to think about to a certain extent. But the idea that there's a bunch of fucking dirty people who are thinking about how to get me pissed off at them, who are thinking about using them as meat puppet for my hatred, in order to manipulate me and to manipulate Christian societies, that is so much graver. Because the Islamist, if you keep it at a distance and he's going to come running at you with some suicide bomb or something, you can avoid this danger. You can protect yourself against it. But there is this subversion of Christian society and Western civilization by Jews, and that is much harder to protect against. Because Jews have these protections where as long as they'll have money, they'll be able to send those hordes of public thinkers at us for the purpose of manipulation of public opinion. That is grave. That is much more dangerous to me and to the future of our nations than a bunch of suicide bombers. John Drake says, today it is, but Islam has numbers on its side. I'm worried about all this stuff. Yes, I'm worried. But I'm never going to be more worried by the orders of a Jew. That is as simple as this. Because I don't want to be manipulated. And yes, okay, there's a danger. But you're not going to use that danger to get me to do your bidding. Because the Muslims in Iraq, they're not a threat to me. And they're not anywhere close to be a threat to me. And the Muslims in Iran are not anywhere close to be a threat to me. So there's a reason why these people want us to think about it so much.
At America. So trashing Jews, trashing Christians, effectively trashing the Bible, people of faith. And yet.
Disclaimer. Mark Levin does not have faith in the Bible.
We've got this.
Oh, yeah. Nick Fuentes yesterday was so funny because he was commenting on Mark Levin's, on this segment of Mark Levin, I believe, or some other one. And he was like, well, there's a difference. Wait a minute. You're talking about your Bible, the Jewish Bible. That is the part that doesn't have the New Testament. And Nick Fuentes was like, I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the one that includes the New Testament.
Islamist terrorism. We've got it all over the world, all over the Middle East, slaughtering people. We've got it in our own country. He talks about AIPAC more than he talks about CARE.
The Muslims aren't coordinated to the point of running psyops that are effectively neutralizing the entirety of the political class in America. So that's one thing. That's one thing that the Muslims have going for them. They are unable to organize massive psyops that shift public opinion to the point of controlling every single politician in the USA. That's one pro of the Muslims. The Jews, on the other hand, they don't have that pro.
CARE, which is tied to Hamas, which hates America.
Oh, no. Oh, no, there's a bunch of sand people who don't even have houses anymore because they've been bombed into inexistence. There's a bunch of sand people somewhere in isolated between the space that exists between Egypt and Israel. And they hate America. Do you see the subversion here? Unbelievable. Like, how do these people live with themselves? This is... It's like if I was here talking for an hour about someone who really, really hates me, but I would try to convince you guys they hate you. They're coming for me right now, but they'll eventually get to you. Hamas is not a danger for the U.S. Hamas is a conflict with Israel. Within Israel, no chance that they represent any force that causes any harm to the U.S. They are well contained. It's your problem, Mark Levin. So don't come out and say they hate Americans. They hate Americans only to the extent, by the way, that Americans are seen as supporting Jews. They hate mostly Jews in Israel. So that's your problem. Let's start dividing here. Let's start separating American politics from internal small terroristic cell problems in the Middle East in countries that don't bother us.
Which spews all this garbage. Council on American-Islamic Relations, which was born in a hotel outside of the Philadelphia International Airport by Hamas. And we know this because the FBI bugged the place and we heard it. And I've talked about it. Now I want you to think about the Mossad or the American FBI. Or now Mike Huckabee's the enemy.
Well, the Mossad and the FBI are way more dangerous to me than Hamas. Let me tell you, when I go out and drive my minivan, there's not a moment in my life that I'm scared of Hamas. But there are times where I'm wondering if Mossad is listening to my phone conversations, or if the FBI is going to crack down on me and try to get me arrested, or the Canadian equivalent of the FBI. Those are forces I have to think about every day. Hamas, whatever, bro. Hamas is not even able to hurt the Israelis at this point, who are just beside them. But they're certainly not able to matter to an American or a Canadian.
And Ted Cruz is the enemy, and this one's the enemy, and that one's the enemy. Does he even know the name of the people who used to run Hamas? How about Qatar? I bet he knows them. Hell, he interviewed one of them.
Well, it doesn't matter. We don't have to care about Hamas because Hamas is not an American political issue. Okay? I mean, we have to place these Jews back into their place at some point. It's like, understand, I only have a certain amount of care. And I couldn't give any more to any Middle Eastern issue. Call me when they start sending bombs intercontinentally. Call me when Hamas has an intercontinental ballistic missile and they don't just have it, but they're capable of sending it. They're capable of blowing it up at an exact precision destination. And they're capable of doing it while not being intercepted in the process. There is not a thing I have to and I should care about in the Middle East, given this standard. Not even Iran. Not even Iran. Iran is barely capable of striking Israel efficiently. I have no fear at all that they could strike an American city. And even if they would, I mean, some American cities, I wouldn't give a shit.
Carlson's part of the enemy within. That's what he is. There's not another human being on earth that's going to call him out the way I do, and that's what he is. Now let's move to Nick Fuentes. Guy's 27 years old. He's a punk. Absolute punk. For years, he was trashing Charlie
Kirk. For years, he was smearing.
Of course, because Nick Fuentes is in an internal fight to fix the problem of organized Jewry controlling the Republican Party. As long as it's going to be a political problem, Nick Fuentes will continue rising. We have to solve this situation. There needs to be a table of negotiation, and I'm not even down the line, I think there could be a place for the Jews in American politics. But it can't be all, and it can't be 50 to 100x over representation in various positions, and including public speaking positions. And it can't be such that Israel is the only issue that ends up winning because they buy out all of the politicians. So, of course, he's complaining against Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk is the example of a Christian that has abdicated in front of Jewish power.
Charlie Kirk. For years, he was attacking Turning Point USA. He's a jealous little bastard. So why would Tucker Carlson...
Not out of jealousy. It's because those were the organizations that were forming a gatekeeping obstacle to fixing the right in the U.S.
Who claims to be a friend of that organization, platform this guy. Can somebody explain that to me? And not you, Tucker. You're a fraud. I don't need to hear from you.
Well, Mark Levin, let me explain it to you. The conception that you platform and therefore agree with everything that someone has said in the past is a false premise with which you're working. Tucker Carlson may very well be a friend of TPUSA, but may have perceived TPUSA and Charlie Kirk as open-minded people. And perhaps he's even himself more open-minded than Charlie Kirk. And perhaps he has seen that, hey, there's this open-minded organization that is good because they're friendly to someone like Candace Owen. Maybe they're not to Nick Fuentes, but that doesn't mean I have to take sides. I can be more open than TPUSA while supporting the general idea of TPUSA. That's how Tucker Carlson probably thinks.
Although I'm happy to. I don't know. What does that show you about even his loyalty to a friend? You bring...
Whoa. Don't use the dead body of Charlie Kirk to call out for loyalty to Charlie Kirk. Now, the Jews have been pushing the recycling of the legacy of Charlie Kirk way too hard. Because at this point, we have Mark Levin saying... Why don't you be more loyal to Charlie? Charlie would have wanted you to cancel Nick Fuentes. Why don't you cancel Nick Fuentes? Bro, that is a dirty argument. You don't do this. You don't do this to a dead man that you respect. So this shows the extent to which the Jews and the pro-Israel voices in general are recycling Charlie Kirk to their ends. To them, he's just a puppet, even after his death. Have some respect. Holy shit.
You know, Nick Fuentes, who trashed openly Charlie Kirk all the time. And you know who else he's trashed, Mr. Producer? His wife, Erica. He believes she's conniving to take control. He said...
Well, she is. She is in control. She doesn't seem to want permanent control, so she's going to give away control. She's probably going to give away control in a way that the Jews are very happy. She's probably going to give control in a way that makes TPUSA a ultimate organ of propaganda for Jews forever. Which means that TPUSA is done, by the way.
That even before the horrific assassination of Charlie Kirk. So how do you platform a guy like this? How do you platform Nick Fuentes if you're...
Well, since when is it a thing of the right to complain about platforming? What is this thing? Platforming is the argument that leftists used to use, but you can't have a free speech view of the world and give any credence to this term, platforming. Platforming means engaging with ideas. Some of them you may agree, some of them you may disagree. In a free market of ideas vision, there's no such thing as platforming. We are just interacting with human beings with the understanding that human beings may have taken a different route from us and they are still worth respecting and hearing. It's not by deplatforming. But by the way, what's the alternative to platforming? It's deplatforming. Now that's a thing. Deplatforming, cancel culture, not inviting people, acting like people don't exist. That is something. And that is what Mark Levin is calling for. Now, what's the difference between Antifa and Mark Levin? Mark Levin might pay lip service to free market of IDs, freedom, American free speech. But in the end, he wants to deplatform Nick Fuentes. And he's unhappy when people don't deplatform him, suggesting that he is supportive of the deplatforming of Nick Fuentes.
Friend of Charlie Kirk. Dinesh D'Souza released some text he had with Charlie Kirk in which Charlie Kirk is, in no uncertain terms, talking about how he has nothing but disdain for this guy Fuentes, what he's done to him, his wife, and his family.
But whatever Charlie Kirk believed about before his death does not matter, because Tucker Carlson is not bound to side with the deplatforming efforts of Charlie Kirk.
And Carlson platforms him, basically gives him a wet kiss. You know, I used to say you're gay, he says, but I apologize. It's clear you're not.
Mark Levin is now, he's frustrated that Tucker Carlson withdrew his gay accusation. I mean, you can't make this shit up. You have here a public intellectual who is like, oh, you gave him a gift. You revealed to people that he wasn't gay. You should have maintained that stupid accusation. I want people to think that Nick Fuentes is gay. This is not serious. This is an emotional, out-of-control man.
What are going through their minds? How sick are these people? Is this normal?
How sick are you, Mark Levin?
He's a fan of Hitler, but then he says he's not. But then he says he is. But then he says he's not. He says, I should leave the country, being a Jew and all. Why don't you make me leave the country, you little punk? All I know is my family fought for this country. I don't know what the hell your family did.
We're down to Mark Levin inviting Nick Fuentes to a street fight to determine if if he will be deported.
But here's Nick Fuentes today. And by the way, I only have these audio because of Mediaite. Mediaite, Dan Abrams' site. They keep pushing these guys, pushing them, stirring the pot, getting their hits. Shame on them. Shame on them.
So now, not only should Tucker Carlson deplatform Nick Fuentes, Mediaite is committing the sin of taking clips, and so Mediaite should also deplatform Nick Fuentes. Well, so, okay, so now you have a whole system under control, and you can't talk against the Jews, because everyone who talks against the Jews has been deplatformed. There's no more free market of IDs, and Mark Levin wants a full restoration of non-market, top-down control of information by the Jews.
And when I'm done,
it's not happening, Mark Levin. The internet has come. It's over. People will converge toward whatever they want to believe based on the content they want to consume. Even the attempts at censoring YouTube have just led to alternative platforms to rise, where we can say what we want.
With this, I want to tell you what Fuentes says about me. And by the way, he has said many sick, damnable things about me, as he has everybody. But he's a punk. And the vast majority, you never heard of this guy. And that's a good thing. But now I'm going to educate you, and I'm going to make him infamous.
you can't argue that he's an unimportant man. You probably never heard of him. But at the same time, you are calling for his deplatforming. You are saying, no, no, don't give him any attention. He has too much attention right now. Which is it, Mark? Is there too much attention to Nick Fuentes and everyone knows about him? Or is it that no one knows about him because he's unimportant and a punk? Which is it, Mark?
Now, here he is, platformed by Tucker Carlson, the guy who trashes Charlie Kirk, who Carlson claims to be buddies with, trashes Charlie Kirk's wonderful wife. Tucker Carlson was at the memorial service, and he brings this bastard on his show. Cut 21, go.
So it was like mid-December, mid-late December. It's actually funny. It was December 18th. I remember because that's an important date to me. And it's Joseph Stalin's birthday. Oh, I'm a fan.
You're a fan of Stalin's?
Mm-hmm. Always an admirer. But
I don't know what this part of the interview meant. Is it Nick a little bit trolling? Maybe he has some respect for Stalin. I'm sure he would. But I don't know to what extent was this trollish or true. Does he think every year about the birthday of Joseph Stalin? I have no idea.
I don't need to go into that. I guess. Like,
to fan of Joseph Stalin? He's an admirer of Joseph Stalin. Tucker acts surprised. Why is he surprised? A little bit of research will show he's a fan of Hitler. He's a fan of Stalin. He's a Jew hater in many respects. He's a Christian hater. He's a Trump hater. It's not that complicated. Go on the internet. You'll learn all you want about this scumball. What? What? Stalin? You're a fan of Stalin? I don't know. You're a fan of Putin. Aren't you, Tucker? We don't need any foreign money to run this show or anything I do. No foreign money. Not from Israel, not from Qatar, not from anybody. Can all the pop?
Yeah, well, Mark Levin, the problem with this is you are definitely funded by Zionist entities. Now, you can say you don't receive foreign money, but that's because the Zionists are inside the U.S. And so, yeah, it's not technically foreign money, but it's money from a very, very small elite that is absolutely tied to the fate of Israel.
Podcaster say that? So during the course of the program, Tucker Carlson's program, such as it is, so he has this guy on. He's platforming his Charlie Kirk hater, his Stalin lover, Hitler lover. Of course, Tucker himself has raised serious questions about Churchill and his guests on who are more supportive of Hitler than Churchill. This is a sick group, I'm telling you right now. Very sick. That's why they don't spend a lot of time attacking Mamdani. That's why they don't spend a lot of time attacking Talib.
Mamdani is the product of immigration laws that are anti-white since 1965. And so, yes, Mamdani is a problem, but I'm not going to obsess about it because ultimately you get what you fucking deserve, New York. You get what you fucking deserve, Democrat states. You get what you fucking deserve, Jewish community of New York. You've invited more people in the U.S. than you're producing babies. So I kind of hope that the Mamdani situation, I kind of hope that it leads the Jews to realize there is such a thing as bad policy that ends up being genocidal in nature at the end of it. And that you could have known about it and that you could have stopped it. And if the Jews can start understanding this about themselves from their New York perspective, hopefully they will extend. There's not much chance that they will, but hopefully they will one day be able to extend this thought to the white people across the nations who have been basically the history of white people across the USA is the same. It will just extend over a slightly higher number of years than the history of the Jews in New York. It's like you're not making much babies, and on top of it, you're flooding the population with migrants. And in the case of certain cities of the U.S., it's already been taken over by Muslims. And it's going to happen to New York.
And Omar? No. They attack Christians and Jews and Netanyahu and Trump. Oh, and me, which is fine. So I want you to listen to this. It's almost choreographed. Cut 20. This is Fuentes, Little Adolf, Wicked Carlson. Go.
I don't know if I've ever even said this on an interview before.
First of all, doesn't it sound like a punk, Mr. Producer? I don't know if I ever said this anymore. It sounds like he's still prepubescent.
Bro, Mark Levin is going low here.
Like the you-know-whats haven't dropped yet. Can I say that on the air, Mr. Producer? I don't know if I ever said this before. All right, let's start over. Go ahead.
I don't know if I've ever even said this on an interview before.
Yeah, what is
I was listening to Mark Levin's show. Mm, this goes to show how normy I was.
Trust me, you're not anymore. You're as abnormal as they get. You didn't listen well enough. Go ahead.
I listen to him every day. You listen to
This is, by the way, a masterful troll of Nick. Now, he may be telling a true story. Maybe it's a true story that he got red-pilled on race by Mark Levin. But whether it's true or not, it's a beautiful troll. Because he's suggesting, look, I was such a fan of these Jewish intellectuals, and they started talking about the issue of white people and the fact that, you know, you have to have a main white block of voters if you want any sort of right-wing policy in America, or else it's sliding toward the left.
Mark Levin every day. In high school, yes.
Wow.
I was a fan. Wow. I loved the show, and I actually liked how he was kind of obnoxious and mean to his callers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vicious. Guilty, I liked that. Guilty. I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. But I'll never forget one
show. So here, Mark Levin is currently in the process of ingesting the fact that both his arch style in speech and his thoughts about white voters in the U.S. and their importance have shaped Nick Fuentes. You have led to Little Adolf, Mark Levin.
Joe,
what happened?
He goes live and he says, yeah. America's becoming a majority non-white country. Does anybody think that's a good idea? Mm. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, that actually doesn't sound so good. I didn't really even think that America's becoming majority minority like that.
Mm-hmm. And you were radicalized on race by Mark Levin?
Mark Levin?
Yes.
Are you making that up? Or
that's a real story.
It's real. It's real.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He planted the seed at least.
Oh. I never said that. I went back. And I remember this. When Obama was president, there was a period of time, and if the media had contacted me, I would have spoken to them, where he kept using the census figures, and he kept saying in 2044, I think that was the year, 2044, America will become a majority-minority country. I kept saying, why does he keep saying this? Like he's rooting for it. Why would you root for it? I mean, things happen spontaneously, or if you have open borders, they don't happen spontaneously. But what are you rooting for?
So Mark Levin is denying that he ever said this. He's trying to, basically, he has said this. But he's trying to frame it as, well, it was Obama. Obama was bringing up these census figures, and he was celebrating the fact that there would be less white voters. And I spoke back against Obama being such a racist. So basically, he's admitting that he said some things along those lines. He spoke about concerns related to the percentage of white voters in America. And he's just adding to the Nick Fuentes story by saying, oh, well, I was doing it in the context of addressing Obama. Okay, but you did speak those words, and they inspired Nick Fuentes.
I mean, when you have people who are listening to this, and the president of the United States says, America will become a majority-minority country, what is it that he's promoting? Racism. I've always said Obama...
So Mark Levin was an early anti-racist complaining against the racism of Barack Obama's statement. How shiny of you, Mark Levin.
Was a racist and an anti-Semite.
I think you should apply to Antifa. They're looking for people with an anti-racist history.
And he's both. And that's what he was doing here on racism. America will become a majority-minority country. Mark, but that's what the census said. Okay, fine, but why did he keep bringing it up? And so my view is there something wrong with white people that they need to become the minority, or something better with minorities that they need to become the majority?
There you go. So that was the seed that you planted in Nick Fuentes' head. Now, Nick Fuentes is not bound to your follow-up to these reflections. Nick Fuentes took it further. He took your seed further and he grew it into a plant, a beautiful plant of realizing, yeah, we are in deep shit if white voters aren't in control of America. Which, by the way, I'm sure you would agree, Mark Levin, on Israel. Wouldn't you think you're in deep shit if suddenly there was an influx of population of black Africans in Israel and they end up representing 60% of the voting base in Israel? What do you think would happen then? Would you be happy about this situation?
In other words, underscoring how...
And if you were unhappy, would that make you a racist and a little Hitler?
Racist, this is it. You better dump that just in case. I used a word that may not be permitted. This little Adolf claims that that is what planted the seed.
Well, whether it's true or not, it's a beautiful story and it's a realistic story. I mean, just like Nick, you know, people who end up in right-wing commentary like me or Nick, I was listening to a lot of conservative talk radio, libertarian-ish, center-right commentary, and I was unsatisfied by all of it. It takes a decade almost of listening to this stuff and being like, I think he's not going hard enough here. I think he could mention race here. I would like him to, because there's lots of bravado in this domain, in the domain of talk of, how do they call them? My DJ, there's a term for it, the DJ. I don't remember the English term, but you know, these rough talk radio type of guys. And eventually you become disappointed. It takes years and you accumulate this disappointment and you're like, there should be something else. There's a way this could be handled more toward the pursuit of the truth. And there's a way we could discuss deeper truths rather than shock jock. That's the name. These shock jocks, you know, they yell at the mic. They're able to make drama around very, very small things. But they fail at bringing it to the next level where maybe we can change society. Maybe if we were to engage honestly on this, with the honesty of that a shock jock will use to talk about his last passage at Walmart or whatever, if you could transfer the energy of the shock jock into a pursuit of the truth, then there might be a change of the public space direction. And that's basically what Nick Fuentes has done.
Let me tell you something, you little punk. That seed was always there. That seed was always there.
Mark Levin thinking that, you know, Nick Fuentes was destined to be Adolf Hitler. There was nothing that Mark Levin could have done. It was inside the DNA of Nick Fuentes. Not so far from what Josh Hammer is saying. That inside the DNA of Europeans, there is Jew hatred. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Again, I've talked to tens of millions of people who listen to this program over the years. Tens of millions, maybe 100 million. You're the only one with the seed. You're it. You're it. So apparently you were born with the seed.
There is something wrong in the genes of Nick Fuentes. Because Mark Levin has talked to millions of other people and they didn't become racist. So there was something wrong inside Nick Fuentes. He was just genetically misprogrammed.
And since I'm so influential in your life, why don't you cut it out? Why don't you cut it out? Why are you such a Jew hater, Christian hater, America hater?
Okay, that was absolutely delicious. Thing. Now we have the full article that was written by Josh Hammer. So apparently there was a part of it under paywall. So now we can have a look. They did so not necessarily because they care for one another, but because of their shared passion for tackling a mutual foe, Western civilization, which for millennia has claimed the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, as its preeminent moral and legal wellspring. Well, this is so ridiculous. This is a rereading of the history of Western civilization. Nick has commented on it yesterday. But first, to claim that the current rise of Jewish questioning, of Jewish power, to say that this is an attack on Western civilization is first to have an understanding of Western civilization as the alliance between the Jews and the Christian, which it really isn't. It really isn't. In the history of America, the Jews join America mostly and start infiltrating academia and American media mostly after Second World War. Western civilization exists before this. Really, what the Jews have brought is liberalism and racial taboos. This is their contribution to the current state of America. Now, arguably, all of those things that I just listed are things that have destroyed Western civilization as it stood before. This conception that we will be blind to race, this is a new thing. And it couldn't, I don't think it would have made it true if it wasn't of the Jews and their contribution to academia and media. America was a very racist country, and still, you know, if you go in the depth of it as of today, racism is still omnipresent in America. But this whole idea that that this is bad, this is a contribution of largely the Jews between 1945 and today. And we can see it because we can see you guys reacting. We can see who takes issue with this discourse and who doesn't. And it's always Jews, and it's always Jewish outlets, and it's always the Daily Beast, and now it's Mark Levin. It's always Jews that are taking issue with, with the idea of racial understanding of the world. That's because the Jews are ultimately afraid of being targeted by it, because they've been raised in this mythology of the sanctification of the Holocaust. And it's like in their head, since they're young, their mothers yelled at them, you have to be scared of Whitey, because one day Whitey will detect you, and one day Whitey will want to put you in an oven. That's how a Jewish child is raised today. And that's how they've been for a couple of decades, with adoration and sanctification of the Holocaust and the whole idea that it will happen again. Because of this, Jews have a reticence to be honest about race. They just think it's bad for them because ultimately they know deep down that they are a different race. And they think that if we start talking about race and we start understanding it, the way they do, by the way, because Jews date among themselves in a way that maintains their race. If they didn't care about race, they wouldn't date within their race. They care about race more than almost anyone. But yet they maintain a public position against racialism. So they act implicitly as acknowledging the importance of race, but they want to deny this knowledge to you. They think that it should be secret knowledge of their gang that race matters. But outside of their gang, they don't want race to matter. Well, what is this? This is unilateral racial warfare. This is what the Jews engage in. This is their MO. Unilateral racial tribalism. And the idea that the Old Testament is foundational to Western civilization. I mean, Nick has already commented on this. I don't need to go into detail, but it's absolute shit. The Old Testament was integrated into a novel religion, that is Christianity. There's probably political reasons for it. but ultimately Christianity is a novel religion, and it is antithetical to a lot of what's in the Old Testament. Just to be clear, I'm not talking about George Soros or Hassan Piker. This was a chat between the erstwhile king of cable news, Tucker Carlson, and Nick Fuentes, the loquacious Holocaust denier who has been a leading anti-Semitic provocateur since he first burst onto the political commentary scene a decade ago. So again, citing the list of evils of Nick, an absolutely leftist practice. What's the difference between Media Matters and Josh Hammer? What's the difference? They both insist, and Wikipedia editors, these people all insist into listing, he is an incel, Holocaust denying provocateur. I get the same thing, same energy. Fuentes, perhaps most infamous for a 2019 rant wherein he analogized Jews massacred by the Nazis to the Sesame Street character Cookie Monster, baking cookies in an oven in an attempt to explain why 6 million dead Jews at the hand of the Nazis just doesn't make any sense, stayed true to his form during the Carlson interview. Beautiful. I mean, this is the Cookie Monster interaction which happened with Milo. And it was Milo himself kind of provoking Nick Fuentes into the Cookie Monster stuff, bringing attention to his original clip where he was talking about the Cookie Monster. This has been pushed by Milo first. That's one thing. That one thing I notice with Jews is when there's a point in your relationship with them. I've seen it between Cassie and Nick, and then I've seen it between Milo and Nick, where they try to highlight your most edgy statements. They try to create a permanent record of them, to bring attention to them, to eventually turn against you. So you had Cassie saying to Nick at some point, I encourage you to write about your beliefs about Israel. And Cassie these days is trying to make us believe that this was a sign that she wasn't taking issue with Israeli views of Nick Fuentes. But she was. She was just trying to get him to put them in writing in the most explicit form so that she could cancel him further after that. Milo also, you know, being inviting and friendly to Nick in the interview, but trying to create a permanent record of the Cookie Monster joke and saying, oh, let's continue the joke. That is what Jews do when they are in this kind of agent mode where they just want to create a permanent record that forever will be attached to your name. And we have to fight against this. The way we fight against this is by taking the Sesame Street joke, Cookie Monster of Nick, and laughing our ass off about it. Saying, no, you won't get me to cancel anyone on these bases. This joke is fucking funny, by the way. It's fucking funny to consider the Cookie Monster metaphor as a way to escape censorship and consider just how many cookies could the Cookie Monster bake. Because let's not forget that the numbers about the Holocaust, they come from a lot of assumptions around the communications of the Germans at this time, in these years. You know, very often there are camps that are designated as death camp. And these death camp, they are all to the east in the extending German Empire of the time. And they all come from a section in the east around Poland where the Russian army advanced, the Soviet army advanced to there. And so all of the supposed death camp, they have been discovered by not American forces and not American intelligence, but Soviet intelligence. That's a first weird thing. concerning the discoveries at the end of World War II. The fact that where America extended, we have information about the camps, and they were concentration camps. Where Soviets extended, the claim have emerged that these places were for the systematic killing of the Jews. We could never verify this from an American army perspective. This is based on information and claims coming from the East. That's the first thing. The second thing is when you get to how they get to the 6 million count, it's messages that are encrypted in German communications that say stuff like, we have processed 1.2 million Jews in this camp. We have processed 2 million Jews in that camp. We have processed 700,000 Jews in that camp. Now, those are internal communications of the German army. And, you know, right now, if you take Jewish intellectuals writing about history, they will just add up these numbers and say 6 million. 6 million Jews have been processed in that camp. And there is legitimate question about to what extent is the assumption of the euphemistic nature of the language of the German army systematically tied to death. Because there's many reasons why internal communications sometimes don't represent, they represent an exaggeration of the truth. For example, if I'm an employee and my boss is asking, Jeff, have you been processing the pages I asked you to process? I'd be like, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I have processed 1,000 pages up to now. Now, I may not have actually processed 1,000 pages, and I may use the word processing in a broad way that doesn't fully reveal what I've done, just to make it look like I work very hard. So to what extent are these counts serious? To what extent are these counts being misinterpreted? You know, if I read the memo of the German army, because I've been digging in the history of this, not in depth, but I just wanted to understand, where does the 6 million number come from? It's like, well, you're asking me to assume that 400,000 processed Jews in a camp, that the 400,000 of them all died. And you're asking me to assume that the language of the German army was such that they were using the word process, but it was a euphemism to say that they were killing all of them. And then I'm stuck with the actual empirical observation that a lot of people escaped from these camps. George Soros is the perfect example of someone who says, yeah, you know, I was in the eastern places in these years, and I escaped as a teenager, and I survived. And then there's all these Holocaust survivors that are telling us, yes, I'm a Holocaust survivor. I almost got caught, or I got caught, but then I ran away. So there's the assumption that the word processed means we succeeded at killing them. There's the assumption that whenever a Jew was sent to these camps, they would for sure die. I'm not sure about all this. I'm not sure we have the verification, the proper verification on these things to assume that alternative hypotheses aren't to be considered. That's my two cents on this. Lord of Sigma says, Soros wasn't in a camp. Well, he was said to be interacting with the forces, the German forces then, because in fact he was said to have been even kind of recruited as a local agent to steal the properties of the Jews then. So he was in the entire fest. Certainly the German army, according to his story, would have known about him. Now, I'm not saying his story is even real. But I'm saying here's a Jew that escaped. To what extent could George Soros have been part of the counts of those 400,000 Jews sent to this camp or that camp or processed? You know, because if you start with the word processed, if a bunch of employees are telling me, Jeff, we have processed 1 million items. Well, what does process mean here? Did you see him in the wood and you noted his name? Did you interact with him? Did you try to put him in a gas chamber? Like, what does process mean? Je suis Charlie Kirk says, Alice Miller also survived. She was a Polish Jew. She might have had a Nazi boyfriend / husband. Okay, well, love is a mysterious force that can happen in all sorts of moments. At various points, Fuentes mused about the evils of organized Jewry and contended that discredited neoconservatism cannot be divorced from Jewishness. Well, Josh Hammer, you're the perfect example of this. Clearly, your Jewishness here is playing within this disagreement. And you've tweeted about it. You've tweeted as much. You know, Josh Hammer, years ago, has tweeted, everything that I do is influenced by my Jewishness. I am so proud of defending the Jews. It's unbelievable. It's the only thing that drives my political intervention. Well, you know, what Nick Fuentes said on Tucker is nothing else than what you admitted yourself in that tweet, that your Jewishness matters a lot. And we've just come to the point in society where it matters too much. And it's keeping society from moving forward and being morally consistent on questions that relate to Israel and the Middle East. The host response, in turn, was so fawning that it amounted to a laundering of Fuentes' repugnant beliefs. Fuentes, who has personally called me filth and said that Jews like me and broadcaster Mark Levin are not American and do not belong here, predictably claimed yet again on Carson's show that American Jews put the interest of Israel over the interests of their own countries. But again, Josh Hammer, you've said as much in a tweet. You've never said what you said about defending the Jews and Israel. You've never tweeted this about America. And I don't think you would, because I don't think it's in you. I don't think you feel American enough to say what you said about Israel. It's a monstrous, destructive lie. He claimed that Jews hate Europeans because the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem 2 millennia ago. It's simply preposterous. Well, I don't think that Nick claims that this is the only reason. There is constantly a history of tension between the Jews and white society. It's a relationship of push-pull. Marry, divorce. So it's a tense situation. But it's been very unilateral in the last 80 years in terms of American control. And it's went way too far. And then we can understand, given the modern state of America, we can understand why it always goes wrong. The Jews want too much control, too much power. If they asked for 50 times less power, it would be all good. But to the Jews, 50 times less power is not enough. They want, in fact, they want their current level of control, and they want even more. That's just too much. It's like they want to be all of the Supreme Court justices. They want to be close to all of the media. And they don't even want an alternative media to rise in which perhaps we will be talking about that. No, that's platforming. Well, there you go. the relationship between Europeans and Jews is unsustainable. And all I want is a peaceful divorce, really. All I want is a peaceful divorce without false allegations. Is that too much to ask? Carlson personally saved his most seething hatred for his fellow Christians and those of a Zionist disposition in particular. Specifically, Carlson said that Christian Zionists are dangerous heretics and that he despises them more than anyone else on earth, certainly more than the Sharia law proponents on whose behalf Carlson has taken, curiously, to offering meek apologia. Ironically, it is Carlson himself who is the Christian heretic. In an August podcast episode, Carlson confessed to his guest that he just read his Bible's Old Testament for the first time last year, and that he was shocked by the violence and genocide he encountered therein. See, the theme here is repeating. You have Jews that they falsely think that Christianity integrates the Old Testament as a foundational thing. But the reality is that for those of us who have had Christian education, I'm sure you understand, but the Jews don't know about this. But there is absolutely no focus on the Old Testament in Christian education. Especially not in Catholicism, but I would say in all dominations of Christianity. The Old Testament is present in the Bible more as a historical source, not as a foundational truth. And in fact, a lot of it is dismissed by modern Catholicism. And the interpretation that Nick Fuentes does of this, he says that basically the New Testament comes to supplant the historical Old Testament. The historical Old Testament is included more as an archive, as an appendix. And it's the moral law is dictated by Jesus and not by anything that preceded him. And in fact, Jesus comes as a breaking point of the moral state, of the alliance between God and man, if you will, of the covenant, as Nick calls it. That is how to interpret the presence of the Old Testament in the Bible, as kind of showing to people, look, this is what it used to be. Those are the tables that Jesus threw away. And Josh Hammer and Mark Levin here showed that they don't understand this at all. They think that because the Old Testament is in the Bible, that it's a foundational command to people. It's not. That's not how Christianity is taught. It's not how it's interpreted. Maybe if you go in some independent thinking, certain branches of neo-evangelical, highly Christian Zionist places, maybe you'll get a flavor of it that is very sympathetic to the Old Testament. But largely, I would say in the branches of normal Protestantism and Catholicism, you won't get a focus on the Old Testament. And it will be present more as a historical reminder of what Jesus reverted. Aquacnote says the Jews are just relying on the fact that most Christians don't actually read the Bible with this Old Testament trickery they're doing. Absolutely. So all in all, I'm going to conclude for tonight. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. The show needs your monthly support to keep going. Much love to all of you on the regular chat. Thank you for being here with me tonight. And in conclusion, I will simply say that I enjoy the seething. I enjoy the seething. This is absolutely delicious salt. I love what's happening right now because you can see that they won't win. you can see that they're going to have to throw a whole lot of money at this. And you can see that they will look worse and worse and more desperate. And you can see that at the end of it, they can't win. Because it's too greedy. You're demanding for too much control. You're demanding to open-minded Christians to basically cancel and deplatform in the exact same way the left does. And you're demanding it because you're a Jew.